and welcome to another broadcast. We're in number 8 in this series on understanding the times in which we live. Stay tuned. Been told beforehand in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Well, those times have come upon us, and we're living in those perilous or hard-to-do times. We're going to survive in this area that we're living in of apostasy. We need to know how to do it. And Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse number 10, if you do these things, then you will never fall for the apostasy that's coming in like a flood. Now, we've been looking at these things as recorded here in 2 Peter, and today we are going to continue in the one that has to do with patience. He said, add to your faith. He said, add to your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance or self-control. In our last broadcast, we were talking about patience. And I want to continue with that a little bit more. At this point in the development of a Christian life, if you've added these other things, you're going to find that at this point you're going to need some patience. The Bible says, as we mentioned on our last program, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. That is found also in 1 Peter, and it was written by Peter, of course, who is giving us these directions as to how to add these things to our life so that we will not fall for the apostasy of our day. We also said that it says in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Well, the term Christian, as we mentioned, was a term that was degrading as far as the world was concerned. We were looking at us with disgust, and they thought of the Christians as something that was worthless and even despicable. Well, the early Christians, they kind of liked that tag, and they wore it with pride. And even though it does say, as we've mentioned in 2 Timothy 3:12, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, they, unlike most Christians of today, were quite willing to suffer persecution. The Bible says concerning the early church, they counted it all joy when they suffered for the cause of Jesus Christ. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we are living in those last days, and verse number 1 says the perilous time will come. And then in verse number 2, it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. And the list goes on here into verse number 3 and 4 and 5. And it's talking about these things being in the church. These things have always been in the world. But the reason that it's going to be hard to do times is we're going to be living in an age, and we are now living in that age, when these things that are listed here are infiltrating into the churches. And so we have these perilous times or hard-to-do times, and the conditions of the people in the churches are listed here in verse number 2 through verse number 5. Verse number 6, he talks about silly women entering into the church. We got that problem today, too. And then men of corrupt minds, it says in verse 8. So whether we're talking men or women or whatever we are talking about, it says that they're going to be infiltrating the church. Now, it says concerning the men of corrupt mind, it says that they are reprobate concerning the faith. Verse number 8. Reprobate, we've seen in a previous broadcast that word actually means not standing the test. And Paul even used that same word when it's been translated castaway, when he says, I keep my body in subjection, lest I myself should be a castaway, not standing the test. And so basically, what it's saying here in these verses is when we get into these last days, we're going to have some people within the church who are not standing the test. What test? God's test. The test of what the difference, as we've mentioned earlier in this series, between your faith and the faith. He said you need to examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. There's a lot of things. Faith is just what you believe. And so is what you believe the Bible belief? We need to examine it and make sure that it is. We're living in an age when we'll just accept anything if it's delivered up by one of our heroes. No, what we need to do is get in the Word of God and examine the Scriptures and see if these things be so, like they did in Berea. And so we see here that Peter said, when you get to this point, you better add patience. That word has been translated enduring in 2 Corinthians 1 and 6. And it's just simply a choice. You can sit back and quit and say, well, I can't handle all this. Or you can get with that remnant, that small group that Jesus said there would be a small group, and stay true to the Word of God in this age of apostasy. Well, the next thing on Peter's list here, after patience, is godliness. That's an interesting thing to be adding as number 6 in this list. Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse number 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Now that word conversation actually means our manner of life. It ought to be in godliness. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 7 and 1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now the big official word for that, we call it sanctification. So if you want to have a homiletical outline here, we got number 1, he said, add to your faith, that's salvation. Second, virtue, that's standards. Number 3 is knowledge, that's studying. Number 4 is temperance, that's self-control. Number 5, we said, was patience, where you will be involved with suffering as a Christian. And then number 6, godliness, we have sanctification. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, holiness, what is that? Be holy, the Lord says, as I am holy. How can I do that? Is that possible? Yes, it is, if you understand that what holiness is talking about here, when it talks about being filled with the Spirit, that's what it is to be holy. To be filled with the Spirit is, the example is a ship on the water with the sails up and the wind blowing into the sails and filling the sails and sending the ship in the direction that the wind is sending it. Now, it's not by chance that the Holy Spirit was referred to in the early part of the books of Acts as a rushing mighty wind. Now, what holiness is, or what it is to be filled with the Spirit, simply means that the Holy Spirit is filling us, and that is, he's sending us in the direction that he would have us to go as the wind is filling the sails of a ship, sending it in that direction that the wind would tell it to go. That's what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And so that's what it means to be looking and adding sanctification, or adding godliness, as it's called here. We're just saying, all right, Lord, I will let you lead me in the direction that you want me to go. The next thing that we add here is brotherly kindness. Romans 12 and verse 10 says, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. In Ephesians 6 and 7 we read, with goodwill we should be doing service as to the Lord. And so the next thing you need to add to the sanctification is service. And then finally, it says charity. Well, that's sacrifice. The Bible says charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. So here we have charity. That's found in 1 Corinthians 13, verse number 4 through 7. It also says in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, if we're going to be like Christ, we're going to love people and give ourselves for them. We can tell how much we love people by how much we give ourselves for other people. People don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. We need to be concerned, number 8 on the list, about adding love, especially love for Christians. Jesus said in John chapter 15 and verse number 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He said in verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, usually we think of that as dying. I don't think it means that. Lay down your life. Jesus laid down his life. He died on the cross. But before he did that, he laid down his entire life here on this earth for his friends, for other people. And so if we're going to love like Jesus loved, we're going to lay down our lives for other people. So in John chapter 15 and verse number 17, he said, these things I command you, that you love one another. Now here's a question. Can you love on command? Can you simply be commanded to love someone and then do it? That's not what this verse is saying. What this verse is saying is, these things I command you, and then as a byproduct, you will love one another. Now, Peter said, if you do these things, you will never fail. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you do these things, you will love one another. Now, the phrase these things is in the book of John 34 times. So once again, it's a byproduct. Loving other people is a byproduct of doing those things. If we do those things, we'll love one another. So figure out what those things are. Get into 2 Peter and say, all right, I need to do these things. We've talked about it a little bit in this series, just a little bit. You need to get in there and study that out. You want to know that you're loving people like Christ loved? Get in John chapter 15. Take and study out what all these things are that precedes John chapter 15, where Jesus said, if you do these things, you will love one another. Now, that may mean you have to turn television off and study the Bible for a little while instead of wasting your time on that junk. Or it may mean better that as well that you would set your alarm clock back and get up early in the morning and do some studying before you get out into this Sodom and Gomorrah society that we're living in today. In any event, you're not going to get it all by just going to church 3 times a week, and that's a good idea. You need to go to church, but if that's all you're doing, you're not going to make it in this age of apostasy. There's rough days ahead.